Amen.
Isn't it good to be here? It is good to see many of you. I see some familiar faces, some faces I haven't seen in a little bit, so it is good to see you in the house of the Lord. I'm having a little bit of a hard time, and I hope it's okay, but the Lord is here, y'all, and when he's here, because, you know, that's a shocker, sometimes we can run him off, but thankfully, we are experiencing his presence here. And when this happens, my desire is not to rush anything, not to try to do things my way and kind of control anything. And I hope that's okay. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Our policies and programs and preferences, they stifle the Spirit. They don't welcome him. And so it's very possible to grieve him. And then what we have is just a meeting of a bunch of people that may or may not like each other, and something may or may not happen. And what I desire, I hope you desire, is that something would happen. That the King of Glory would be here. And because he's here, things would happen. There would not be a question or doubt in our mind. Amen? Is that okay? Do you understand that? Are you with me? I want something to happen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I have an interesting word. I'm going to say it that way. I have an interesting word that the Lord wanted me to share this morning. And so, guys, first off, can we thank our faithful fellas in the back? Thankfully, they're both guys this time, and so I could use faithful fellas. But thank you guys for helping us back there. Could you guys pull up the scriptures slide for me? I just wanted to share these before we get going. Clear the background just so we can see it a little bit better. One more. There we go. Thank you so much. Just leave that there for a minute. So here's our scriptures. If you'd like to write them down or take a picture of it, please feel free to do so, and it'll stay there for a minute. You can also go ahead and turn in your Bibles. I pray that you have your Bible with you, whether it's the physical version or a digital version, but I pray that you have your Bible with you today. We are going to be primarily in Matthew chapter 13, so you can go ahead and start there and hang out there for a minute. And I believe most of my scriptures are going to be in the ESV today. So if you switch your Bible version on your app to ESV, you'll be able to follow along with me. All right. So if you're there, if you're ready to go, let's go ahead and read our first set of scriptures. And since we're going to stand anyway, would you stand, whether you're holding your Bible or holding your phone, stand up with me. Let's read our first group of scriptures, and we'll break it down as we go. So our first group of scriptures are found in Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to start in verse 24. We are reading the parable of the weeds. Verse 24 says, "And he put another parable before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?" And he said to them, "An enemy has done this." So the servants said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he said, "No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for instructing us, Lord. We thank you even for the word that hurts a little bit. Lord, break down our walls, break down our defenses. Get straight to our heart, Lord God, with your word so that we can be transformed by it. We thank you for everything that you want to do today. Have your way, Lord God. Continue having your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Got out a little bit backwards, but while you are still standing, can we say our declaration together? My eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to his spirit. My ears are listening to his voice. My mind will believe what he says, and my voice will declare the truth of his word. Amen? All right, you may be seated. I pray that as you think about this, that you understand what that declaration is about. It's, I want to believe what his word says. I want to listen to him, and I want to do it. And then the last part of that is voice declaring. I'm going to go not only do it, but I'm going to speak it. I'm going to repeat what he says. I'm going to be his echo. Can we be his echo today and every day? Amen. So a few things that we want to talk about today with our scriptures here, and I'm going to keep referencing back. And so just hold your place there in Matthew 13, 24, but just hold it there. But it should really give us something to think about when we look at the church and inside of the church as well as all around. So not only little C church, you know, individual churches, but also what I call the big C church, all of Christianity, that we're so quick to accept everything that appears to be holy as if it really is. We see it and it has the, you know, kind of the clothes of holiness, but it's really not holy all the time. We make things and we set things up that are according to our preferences, and they're not really in Scripture. And so, you know, we can have the grace of, you know, where Paul would say, the Lord didn't say this, but I speak as if I'm approved by God and I will declare this thing. But I'm talking about something that's even far, so much further the opposite in terms of it's actually evil. And so we're going to talk about some of that this morning. But really what it gets down to is it's a mixture. We're mixing the things of the world with the things of God and calling it holy. And Jesus warned us, be careful that you don't call what is evil good and what is good evil. And so there's a warning there. There's an inspection that takes place. And what we see in this scripture specifically, this parable, and we see a number of parables here, and we may reference a few of them, but we have what most of us would assume would be an easy thing. All right, you've got wheat and you got weeds. We're going to know the difference. Well, in the scriptures here, the type of weed that he was speaking about looked remarkably similar to the wheat that they were growing. And it wasn't until it had grown to full maturity and started producing fruit on both sides that they could determine which one was a weed and which one was the wheat. The other part of that Jesus spoke to them, you know, through the story, through the parable, is when they asked the master if they wanted them to go gather them and pull them out. Well, when they grew, the weeds and the wheat intertwined with one another, and so if you pulled out one, you'd pull out the other. The other thing, and might be getting ahead of my notes just a little bit, but in the process of growing, this specific weed would actually grow higher and faster than the wheat would. And so part of the reason why he said wait is because they would pull out what is appearing to be wheat, but is actually the weed and it has the fruit on it, but the wheat wasn't ready. Does that make sense? And so he's saying, wait, this one's not ready. If you pull it up, you'll pull them both out. We'll lose all of the crop. And so we're gonna kind of unpack this today. I hope that's okay. I gave you a little bit of a nutshell, but we're going to, you know, drive by point. But I want you to see the mixture, and here's what I encourage you to do. This is not pointed at any specific person. I believe this is permeating the entire body of Christ, and what I encourage you to do, as I often do, is look at myself. Is there a place where the enemy has tried to sow the weeds in this good soil? And remember what I told you why we were worshiping. Often, it takes the thing that's in us, the seeds, to die in order to create life. That resurrection power that Jesus implanted in us is to bring things to life, not just to hang out and do nothing. The power is supposed to accomplish something. Do you see that? Do you hear that today? All right, so that's kind of the direction we're going to go on. So first point that I want to make, and I love this. The enemy who successfully sowed the tares in the field was only able to do so because the people were asleep, not keeping watch over the field. That we must stay spiritually sober and vigilant, always keeping watch. Now, Jesus did not get on to anybody in this parable, both the telling of it and then the explanation of it found in 36. We're going to go to 36 in just a minute, 36 through 43. So he wasn't getting on to anybody. Actually, he said, while the master and all of those were sleeping. So everybody's sleeping. So we're not talking about a spiritual death, but I felt that it was important that we need to remember that if our enemy prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, he's sneaky. He's crafty. He's not going to do his stuff in the daylight. So you're like, it's the devil, right? He doesn't work that way. He wants to work in the cover of night. He wants to work when you assume that everything is fine, everything is safe, I've got the doors locked, I've got everything taken care of. That's when he strikes. And so are we being vigilant? Are we keeping watch? A parable that I think ties into this a little bit, if you can kind of color it this way. But Jesus often gave us examples of, you know, this or that. And so it reminds me of the 10 virgins. Some had enough oil to keep their lamps lit and ready so that when darkness came, they could see. And then there were 5 others that did not. You remember that? Are you prepared? Are you keeping watch? Are you ready? Number 2, notice that the enemy didn't choose to sow his seed in the bad ground. The first part of 13 was the parable of the sower. We've preached on this a number of times, and we talked about the different types of ground. But if the enemy is smart enough and tactical enough that he knows the only thing that will grow is going to be in that good soil, are we keeping watch? Are we keeping mind of what type of seed and what type of soil are we cultivating? Are we practicing? Are we planting in good soil? Are we cultivating the soil of our heart so that it can receive seed? Or are we still in those places where we have some rocky places, some areas that's harder to penetrate? One of the things, and I wasn't going to reference this, but it comes to my mind, so I'll go ahead and share it. A lot of people get really spun up in the story of Genesis where the, it's kind of a little bit all over, but the point of it is specifically in Genesis where it says that the Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And in the language there, depending on different translations, you'll have some that say God hardened his heart. But what was happening is God allowed his heart to continue to be hardened because he already hardened it. He wasn't going to allow him to have this free pass and just, all right, you know, do all this. Like, God is gracious, but he also, if you make the choice, if you've decided for yourself to rebel and reject the promises and the goodness of God, he's going to let you sit right there in that little pity party, you know, mess that you've created, and he's going to say, when you are ready, I am here, I am able to change all of this. But I'm not going to do it for you. You have to make the choice. We keep talking about stepping out, taking the first step. But I don't know where I'm going. Are you willing to take the first step? We have to make that decision. He's not going to do it for us. I think about that in the sense a lot of people erroneously believe that when we die, we turn into angels. Let me tell you, church, that is not what the word says. We have choice. He didn't want robots. If he wanted robots, he would have made robots. And so we, like Alan said up here, if you couldn't hear him, he's like, that's a demotion. We would technically be going backwards. Angels are excited that when a believer comes to the gates of heaven, they're like, whoa, what's this thing? You know, they're excited, right? Yes, exactly. Thank you. And so we need to kind of get that junk out of our head. We can preach another message on that because that's some junk, exactly what it is. But and it's not to minimize those that have tried to make you feel better by saying, oh, they're an angel now. They're in heaven playing a harp, sipping iced tea, you know, whatever. But, you know, that's a nice little feeling. But, you know, there's so much more for the believer. Amen? So much more. And so, what kind of ground are you allowing the Lord to analyze and prepare and sow his good seed in? That kind of makes you think about it quite a bit more. I hope. Like, I think, like, oh God, I don't want to waste your good seed in the hard ground of my heart that I haven't been healed in and that I haven't given over to you to have your way in. And so now I'm ruining your seed and I'm not a good steward. Do you kind of see that pattern or that track? I hope that brings a little bit of conviction in your heart and allows the Holy Spirit to get in those deep places. I encourage you that if you don't have someone to talk to about those things, that you find someone to talk to. But most importantly, and I see this often, John, you've been around, you've seen this often. Some that have been around have seen this. Sometimes we want to go, we just want to vomit all over the person that's willing to listen to us, but we don't want to do anything that they say. No godly counsel, no scriptural counsel whatsoever. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about going with an intent to be massively vulnerable. You may look or sound like a fool, but if you're doing it to be healed, I promise you, as surely as I am drawing breath, God will heal you. I did that for effect. I hope that was okay. He will heal you. People don't get set free and delivered because they have a different agenda. They want to be heard, not healed. Are you with me? We can hear you, and we can get you healed. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is ready to do exactly that. He's waiting. So the enemy looked for good and fertile soil to sow it in. Here's another little snippet. Just because the ground you're planted in is fertile does not mean the enemy won't try to plant seed there as well. In his eyes, the more fertile, the better. How can I sow those weeds or tares in to this good soil and then causes you to say, man, what's happening? I thought I was on the right track. What's going on, right? You get confused and you start thinking the path that God led you on is the wrong path. Does confusion come from God? What does the word of God say? Confusion does not come from God. And so if you find yourself in obedience, falling in line with scriptures, falling in line with his word, falling in line with godly counsel, and you start to experience an immediate chaos that doesn't seem to have any rhyme or reason from where it came from, there's a good chance that you're being attacked. And I love that. Candace said, the Lord told him it was just a little gnat, and just go, you know, throw those little gnats, that little pest, squish them, and throw them away. I love that. That's a good little analogy. If y'all see me start doing that, you know, that's what I'm doing. I'm not telling you to be quiet or anything. I'm just getting the pest and throwing them away. Some of us need to be a little more fierce. Some of us need to be just stomping on them, right? We play too nice. Did you know that the enemy doesn't play nice? Why are you playing nice? He doesn't pull punches. Why are you pulling punches? He isn't this little sweetie that is going to be redeemed and, you know, everything's going to be fine later. No, he's done. He is completely 100% opposed to all things of God. So why are you playing nice? Why are you talking to him like he's your boyfriend or your girlfriend and you don't want to go anywhere? Because he makes you feel good. He tells you what you want to hear. Why are you playing nice? Church, rise up. Kick him to the curb. Tell him to get lost. This is your ground, your soil. You're going to give an account for what it is that you allow planted in your heart and life, what you cultivate. Do you want him doing his thing so that you have to answer for it? Are you guys with me today? Come on. As I said, the word here for weed or tares, because I was reading this in the King James initially, the tares, is Zanian. And it's deceptive because from a distance, it looks just like wheat. But listen, the little black seeds that are on it are poisonous. You know, with many things, I would imagine you could probably eat one or two, have a little bit of a stomach ache. But you start eating that regularly, unaware, not inspecting, not paying attention, and worse things start to happen. Are you with me? And that's the way the enemy works. You're like, I don't feel very good today. Must be something I ate, You kind of move on. Are we inspecting the things that we consume, both naturally and spiritually? Am I consuming this, or am I consuming this and something else? What is polluting the word of God in my life so that I'm not hearing the exact words of my Father? If you're reading this and, you know, a good self-help book, man, I'd get rid of the self-help book. This is all you need. This is all the self-help that you need. Amen? I'm not dissing Christian books, but I would even say sometimes we lord those over the very word of God too. If the first thing that you do is not crack this open, and it's cracking open your favorite author's book, no offense, y'all, we love you, but you're not God. This is the authority. Amen? Do we still believe that? Do we still believe the word of God is the authority, or has it been usurped by something? Okay, so let's start getting into our word. Let's start believing what it says, and let's most importantly start doing what it says. All the things come separate. I hope that when I share lists of scriptures, you take those home and you actually study them. I may or may not get to all of them, but dig in. Ask him what he wants to say. So when the workers in verse 27 asked, they said, "Sir, wasn't that good seed that you sowed in the field?" I love that, and only a few versions say it that way, and so I appreciated it because here's what it spoke to me in just that split-second instant. They knew that the master was good, and they knew that the master only sowed good seed. There was no question that the master did this. And so they said, "Sir, didn't you, because you're good, and you do all things good, didn't you sow good seed? Where then did this weeds come from?" The very first thing that you need to settle in your heart, and I need everyone to hear me on this. Actually, everyone say this with me. God, you are always good. The enemy tricks you the moment he convinces you that God's not good, that God doesn't do good things, that for some reason, this thing in your life has been allowed by God, and therefore he is not good. And that's when the enemy starts taking you on a trip to a place that you don't want to go, and the journey's not very fun. And then you turn around and you look back and say, "How did I get here?" Do you believe that God is good? All the time. God is good. Come on. We need to bring that back, yo. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Amen. So they knew that the master only sows good seed, and they said, "This must be the enemy." John 10:10, the thief comes only to what? But Jesus came to do what? Abundant life. Abundant life. So when you look at your situation, when you look at your heart, when you look at the seed in your life, and you look at it and say, "I see life." Not only do I see life, I see abundant, thriving, transforming life. God is good. And if I analyze places in my life that don't walk in, in that abundance, God, change it. Have your way. Bring up that tiller. Y'all, they make electric ones too. We just got one. It was cool. But the electric tiller's like, you know, you can take it anywhere, right? It's like, I'm just going to go till up some stuff. Anyways, I'm on this weird grass and yard kick. I'll be fine. I will recover. But sometimes we need some stuff tilled up, don't we? Goodness. The weeds just fly around. And y'all, listen, sometimes those birds, man, those birds, they're just like, "You know what? I like the seed from over here. I'm going to go grab some and I'm going to bring it back with me." And in the process of doing so, they drop a few and then it lands in our yards and we're like, "Ah, where'd this come from?" The wind, the animals, all these things. And then it gets to a point where it's not kept and it needs to be tilled up, tore up, dismantled, so that good things could be planted and grown there again. Why? Because sometimes those weeds, like the ones we're talking about here, cannot grow with good things because they choke out and kill the good things. So tell me, in light of that, let's speak about it from a spiritual and maybe right where you're at, your natural level. Do you want a mixture of the good and the bad in your life? Amen. All right, so let me tell you this. If you were to go and you sit down this morning and you pulled out a nice glass, you knew it was clean, you knew nothing was wrong with it, you go to your refrigerator, you grab a nice glass of or jug of milk, to you, you believe that it's good. You just bought it. Nothing's wrong with it. You pour it in, and it starts clumping out. Cluck, 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 cluck. I would make the sound, but some of us would vomit, and I don't want to do that in church. And unknowing to you, you know, you're busy, you're doing your thing, and you put it back in the fridge, and you know, then you sit down, and you get ready to take the biggest gulp of your life, and all of you immediately changes, because what you just consumed was tainted. It was bad. That doesn't bring the warm and fuzzies, does it? Any of us that have had that situation, whether it's milk or something else, you've tasted something, it's spoiled, it's bad, and all of your desire for that thing is now gone. Because someone could offer you, hey, John, would you like me to pour you a fresh one? You're like, nah, you know, I think I'm okay. I'm going to move along. The time has passed. Hey, y'all had a fly land in my water, and the water was forever done. I was like, it's fine. I'll be dehydrated. I'm good. But think about that. That's what we're presenting to the Lord. Here, Lord, here's my spoiled milk. Enjoy. Does that make sense? No. If we're to minister to the Lord, do you think he wants the spoiled and the rotten and the dead things in our life? Is that what he gave you? Did he give you something spoiled, rotten, and dead? No, if he gave us good seed and he gives us life more abundantly, that is what we should be presenting to our Lord, not the junk. So, Lord, I want that stuff cleared out of my life. Amen? One of the things that I found was interesting, just to kind of color this a little bit further, it was somewhat common in ancient warfare and feuds at the time that the enemies would ruin a people's agricultural infrastructure so that their military and their people would be affected. And so they'd go in and they'd mess up all their crops, they'd mess up their water supplies, they'd do all of this. And so when the people heard this story that Jesus was telling, they knew that there was actually a Roman law now against sowing weeds in someone else's field. Like the Romans, guys, they're like, even these guys get it. Like, come on, you know? And so Jesus was talking to more than just the Jewish crowd. He's talking to everybody. And everybody understood this reference. It's like, hey, man, have you ever seen someone sow bad stuff in a good field? And everybody instantaneously was like, yeah, that's terrible. Only the bad ones do that, right? And they asked, so should we remove them? And he said to wait until the harvest at the end of the age. And what we need to realize, and once again, we're going to cover the explanation, but the field that he's talking about is the world. When we see the parables that speak of the sea, talking about the world. And so he's giving us a greater picture. He's giving us the fact that in this field, in this world, good and evil are intermingled. Both exist. But a time of separation has been set by him, not by us. And so John can't go on a crusade today. This has happened in our history. But John could not go and should not go on a crusade today to go kill all the ones that he deems evil and only save those that are good. Right? That would be wrong. That would be bad. And so it is not on us to do the separation. It's on him, his timing, his plan, his workers, right? Right now, there's time to do work. We need to follow his commands. We need to cast the nets. We need to sow the seeds. And everything is up to him to sort out in the end. Have you heard that? Like, you know, you catch the fish, he'll clean them. Same idea. He takes care of that, not us. The third point that we were making, and I'll color this a little further, Though the tares are almost indistinguishable against the wheat, they can be distinguished. But trying to uproot them without the possibility of destroying the wheat in the process is the difficult part. That's why Jesus said to let it be. Warn against the tares. Inspect. Keep watch. But allow Jesus to do the work. Basically, all that says is know your role. What is your role? Go and tell. Sow. Fish. Do all that, but let him take care of it. So let's unpack 13, 36 through 43 for a minute. Matthew 13, we're jumping down to 36 through 43. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." And he answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man," that is Jesus. "The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Yes, sir. I don't know if that was a recording, but yeah. Jesus spoke in parables so that at the surface, just anybody wasn't going to get it. It was the ones who were hungry, the ones who were listening, the ones who basically hung on every word that Jesus said because they knew that in him were all the words of life. They wanted, they craved what he had. And we've been talking about that expectation, that pull on the glory of, God, I want something to happen. I need something to happen. And I know that when you're here, something is going to happen because it's who you are. They were ready. And the ones who had issues or couldn't understand what was going on, and they heard the parable at the surface level, and they tried to apply their own interpretations, those were usually the ones that kind of got a little bit spun up, been out of shape. John 4:35, I don't know if I have it, but you guys don't have to go to it, but John 4:35 and 38 says, "Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I have sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Something that I found as I was studying this out with the Lord is that there is, I believe, and I'll tell you why, so I'm not just going out in left field here. I believe there is hope for the weeds and the tares. But I believe that that hope is only found in Jesus. Because remember what I said to you about the death of that seed, the breaking of that seed. If we are willing to die, and Jesus puts it basically in this picture of he that is not willing to save his own life but is willing to lose it, can be his disciple. A lot of people say it this way, and I'll color it further. They'll get up there on TV, say a few F-bombs and a bunch of other colorful language. They'll receive their trophy, and they say, "I thank God for this. We're all children of God. Can we just bless God?" And while that may sound nice at surface level, that person is not God's. Though he was made by God, God created all of us, that is truth, but he is not God's child. Jesus said that whoever you do the works of, that person is your father. And so if you do the works of the enemy and you sing all this junk or you create all this junk, whose child are you? You're the child of the devil. Jesus made this very clear. But if you do the works of your father and you echo the words of your father, no one has to ask, whose kid are you? Because you look and sound exactly like the one whose child you are. And so what I'm saying here, so that we don't get too holy, too high and mighty, is there's this continual back and forth. Because remember, I said, I believe that as we study the ground here in 13 as well, that there are uncultivated places in our heart. And so if we want to open up to the Lord and say, God, cultivate these places in my heart so that all I have is good soil, that's a process. That's a process of surrender, but it's also a process of obedience. There's much pain involved in it. And the moment pain comes up and it's, oh wait, there's going to be pain involved. There's going to be trials involved. I have to give up something. I have to do something. Most people are out. And so I say there is hope for the weeds and the tares, but the weeds and the tares have to choose to die. And often that's not what we want to do. When I first heard the gospel, and I don't know about everybody's story, but I had good parents, had a fairly good life. I really didn't want or need for anything. It wasn't like I was saved from this great, you know, travesty to me, you know. Bear in mind that. I didn't think things were too bad. I was living my best life, right? But when I heard the gospel and I heard about what Jesus did for me, and I heard about, you know, all those good things, I initially was like, okay, I can kind of see that. But then the minister started talking about the cost. They started talking about what you'd give up, what you couldn't do anymore. You know, and you're like, I don't know about this whole Jesus thing all of a sudden. Like, fire insurance? Yes, we're all about that. Don't want to go to hell. But making him Lord and Master, well, that was a step further that I hadn't heard before. And so I wish I can tell you that I was just like, yes, Jesus. It took me some time, y'all. It took me some time to chew on that, but here's one thing I will tell you. Because I was genuinely listening, and there are those who are genuinely listening, it's imperative for us to sow that seed, because that gnawed on me for months, continuously. I got to give this up, but it's the right thing to give up. I should give it up. I shouldn't want that. That's not, you know, you started going through all these things, and eventually the Holy Spirit woos you unto himself. It's not something I do. Chris can't do that. God does that, him and him alone. All I have to do is be faithful, scatter the seed. Are you with me? So in order for hope to be found for the tares and the weeds, which we once were, we were child of the enemy, not children of God, we had to die and become a new creation. That is only found in the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead, and it's now in us, bringing life, Paul says, to our mortal bodies. And that's a continual process. Life, abundant, flowing, moving. Romans 8:11. The angels will be sent out to weed out and remove and burn all that causes sin and those who do evil. It's their job, not yours. I thought this was interesting. One commentary said, we must understand that our enemy is set on opposition by imitation. Opposition by imitation. If you look the same, if you sound the same, listen, many who are not in Christ resemble or act like those who do. They go to church. They're here when the doors open. They pray. They're in that club. They're like, oh yeah, I'll pray. They read the Bible. They can quote scripture to you all day long. Newsflash, so can the devil. We have to press deeper. The only way we could press deeper, and some don't want to hear this, but I'm going to plug it again. The vision behind small groups, the vision behind doing life with one another is found all throughout Scripture. And when you live with someone, and you break bread with someone, and you study with someone, and you learn each other's life, you learn each other's mannerisms and all of this, you start to begin to realize what type of person and what type of character they have. And if they are a believer, that fruit will show. We can't get it just by saying, oh, hey, it's good to see you in the house of the Lord, and I'm not going to talk to you the rest of the week. I just wanted to do the right thing and shake your hand because that's what church people do, and I just go on about my day. All the while, Jeremy could be burning in hell. Thankfully, he's not, but you get what I'm saying. Your job is not just to say, your job is not just to shake the hands and say, well, I hope they're good. I hope they're okay. No, that was the open door. Now it's time to start building relationship. We're not made to do this alone. My last 2 points. Point four. The main purpose of a tare is to choke out and kill the growth of the weak and apathetic wheat around it. But the thing is, tares are not successful in doing so amongst those who are determined, strong, and healthy. So, church, I encourage you to stay strong and faithful because it's the only way you make it to the harvest. If you are lukewarm, if you are mixed, and you allow that mixture, you will not make it. Revelation tells us to the lukewarm church that he will spit you out of his mouth. You're the bad milk. Point number five. Last but certainly not least, even though the tare is indeed somewhat distinguishable against wheat, it is most distinguishable right before harvest. This one wrecked me. When the wheat fully ripens, get this picture. When the wheat fully ripens, it bends. It bows. It dies, and it changes color. Guess what the tares do? Look at me in all my glory. I am so mighty and awesome, full of pride, full of ego. All show. Because what fruit they produce is death. But man, they look nice. They can totally fake it. Wheat bows, dies, and cloaks itself in readiness for harvest. Are you ready? Are you submitted? 1 Corinthians 15:36 says, you foolish person. A little harsh here, Paul. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. Are you sowing your seed? And are you leaving the results, the harvest, up to him? I find it interesting, and I encourage you to chew on that. But it says God gives it a body that he has chosen, each according to its seed. What kind of seeds are you sowing? John 12:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Do you know what happens to seed that is not sown? It rots. It stinks. It dies. Now, please don't go start smelling people. You smell a little rotten. What kind of fruit you got up going in here? Don't do that. That is not what we were talking about. Remember, you scattered the seed. He takes care of that.
But if you start,
whoa, Lord help me. Am I stinky? Or am I providing life to people around me?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and share this. Matthew 7:21, probably one of the most terrifying scriptures, depending on how you feel about it, depending on where your heart is. I've definitely had moments where my heart was like, whoa, Lord, I don't want to be this kind. But it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, you're crying, Lord, tears, doesn't matter, will enter the kingdom of heaven. You can't put on a show. He's going to cut right to the matter. Does not matter with tears or otherwise. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but, someone say but, the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Because on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Another version said, you evildoer. There's a lot of names that I want my Father to use for me. That is not one of them. So I ask you again, what kind of seed are you planting? What kind of works are you doing? And by your works, upon inspection, who will we say then is your master? Jesus reminds us we can't serve two masters. We'll love one and hate the other. Who's your master? Would you stand with me this morning? Hey kiddos, will y'all stand? Go ahead and stand with us this morning. Can we hold out our hands, even the little ones, hold out our hands like we're giving or receiving a gift? And I ask the little ones to join us because I think we all need to have this little moment of inspection. Oh, here's a good picture. Pretend in the one hand, you have a bag of seed. Maybe we know what kind it is. I don't know what kind it is. I'm picturing a bag of seed. And then on the other hand, you have all of the desires of your life. Fame, glory, a good job, nice car, nice house, all the things. And in this moment, the Lord is saying, what will you choose? What would you have me do for you? Is it all this stuff that you have to have? That you have to look good amongst all your friends and coworkers and peers and all of that? Or is it the work of a sower? Someone that's just willing to be obedient to me. Someone that's just willing to do what I've asked them to do. There might not be any glory for you to be seen in it, but will you still do it? Will you still be faithful? I want to create some space here as Kaya is playing, just for you to search that out with him. This is a choice, as I told you before, this is a choice you have to make. I can't make it for you. Your mom, your dad, they can't make it for you. Will you take what the world has to offer? Or will you do what Jesus said? Just take a minute. And if you'd like to get at the altars too, those are open. picture that I have. I think it's one of the most beautiful pictures in all of Scripture, but we get a glimpse into the throne room. We get a glimpse into heaven. And the moment the angels start singing the song, and they say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." It said the men who were elders there stand up and they take off their crowns and they place them before the feet of Jesus. There is no question in their mind that there is no title, there is no honor greater than the name of Jesus. And so as a way to align with that, could I encourage you? Would you take a minute and just place that bag of whatever the world wanted to offer you, whatever the enemy wanted to offer you, and we need to just place that at the feet of Jesus right now and say, I don't want that. I only want to do the will and the work of my Father Jesus. And as we do that and you take that time to spend before the Lord here in this place, I send you in the name of Jesus to go be that faithful worker, that faithful sower. Would you bless someone this week? Would you transform a life this week by telling them the good news of Jesus? That is the most important thing you can do, and it will bring joy and honor to Jesus. So be blessed. We send you, and please feel free to linger and just process this out before the Lord. Love you guys.